And here we go. Got a special one for you. I'm never on at this time, but I just had to. This was too good. I'm Matt. This is the Anarchist Investor Live. Normally, I'm on every Monday through Friday at 12 Eastern. However, something came across while I was just rolling through YouTube. And it's so timely. I couldn't not watch it and then give my reaction to it because it's absolutely fantastic. And I think it needs to be said, not to mention the fact that it had my head just spinning while it was happening. Okay. And I'm not going to show the whole video. What I am going to do is I'm going to pull up a screen grab of it, or at least just a screen share of it. This is the video that just went up a couple hours ago on Tom Bilyeu's YouTube channel. All right. It is a debate between Peter Schiff and Raoul Paul. If you don't know who either one of those people are, Peter Schiff is a big gold guy. Obviously, you can see Schiff Gold logo in the background of his profile picture. And then Raoul Paul is a ex-Goldman Sachs guy who is a gigantic Bitcoiner. Okay, loves Bitcoin. I would say, you know, there's very few people I would say are even bigger, you know, on Bitcoin than Raoul Paul. He's made huge investments into Bitcoin. And so the two of them are essentially debating the future of Bitcoin, or at least what the value of Bitcoin is today and into the future. All right. And so Peter Schiff is always going to take the angle of, you know, the anti on this one. And Raoul Paul is going to, you know, be essentially trying to validate the value of Bitcoin now, as well as why it's going to grow ridiculously into the future. Okay. And I can't stress this enough. If you are a Bitcoin maxi, if you're one of these people that has, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90% of your net worth into Bitcoin, you need to watch this video and you need to think about it. And I don't mean just the debate. I mean this one that I'm making right now. Okay. And you're going to see why. All right. And you need to share it with your Bitcoin maxi friends. Okay. This is extremely important to understand. When, first of all, it takes a while for Tom to get Peter and Raoul to kind of make their position known. And Raoul is actually better at making his position known, like as far as why he believes in Bitcoin versus Peter, who is continually on the attack. And so I guess he feels like he just doesn't even have to defend gold, right? Raoul's position, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but Raoul's position is basically that Bitcoin does better what gold does, okay, in terms of being an inflation hedge and a store of value, but it improves on it by being, you know, a better form of currency. And so I think it's really important before you get into this, that whether it's a debate or, you know, that I go further in this video, like I need to make something clear. There's a difference between money and currency, okay? This is silver. This is money. It can also be currency, okay? And why do I say that? Well, first of all, just on its own, just sitting here, it has value. It has value as an industrial metal, and it has value because it's an actual thing. Like I can actually hold it, right? And then it can be a currency because if I want to go out and buy, you know, 24 bucks and change worth of stuff with it right now, okay? Some people will take this, not everyone. It's not a perfect currency. And in fact, it's not, there are elements of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general that improve on using this type of thing as a currency, but it can be both money and a currency. What's the difference? A currency derives its value from the money or some other asset that's backing it up. Okay. So something can be just a currency. For instance, the US dollar is just a currency. It is not a store of value and it is not money. All right. It's a banknote. What does it derive its value from? It derives its value from the quote unquote full faith and credit of the US, right? It's basically the US economy and the business activity that happens, and as well as the full faith and credit of the Federal Reserve to actually honor that as something that has value, especially when it comes to transacting with someone else, right? So that's the difference between money and currency. Peter Schiff's position in this that he finally gets to after a while is essentially that gold has intrinsic value because it's used industrially, okay? It's also desired as like a jewelry and an adornment, okay? And then there's also a premium above and beyond that because of its scarcity and rarity and that kind of thing, all right? His critique of Bitcoin is that Bitcoin doesn't have that underpinning. It doesn't have that foundation. Okay. And I'm not going to be on one side or the other on this debate. I think both of them make good points. And I think both of them either make mistakes or leave very material things out. Okay, so they've done good things in the debate, and they've also missed things in this debate. So Peter Schiff's idea is that gold is worth more than just the industrial value of it because of these other things, right? Like the scarcity of it, the desire to have it, the adornment, that kind of thing, right? As well as the belief in it, okay? Raoul Paul lays out the argument for Bitcoin being an improvement on a lot of the things that I've written about and talked about, and a lot of people in the Bitcoin community talk about, the fact that it is, you could actually have custody of it, that it is digital. It can instantaneously be transferred between two people, okay, without any intermediary. It disintermediates transactions, all right? It is scarce. There is scarcity, all right? Which, by the way, I'm going to get to this scarcity thing because I think Peter Schiff wins a very big point on this one. There's scarcity, okay? So there's only going to be 21 million Bitcoin minted. And so all of these things that Raoul Paul lays out are true, but you have to remember one thing. He's talking about a currency. He's not talking about a money, or at the very least, he's talking about Bitcoin as if it were both money and a currency. And this is where I think most people in the, you know, regardless of what your other side is, you know, Peter Schiff's other side is gold that he loves to talk about all the time. But like, what, regardless of what your other side is, the juxtaposition of anything versus Bitcoin, people are always talking about the features and the benefits, but they never talk about the actual underlying value. Like, why is it valuable? And Peter Schiff, to his credit, keeps asking that question, like, what's the underlying value? And the underlying value has to be derived from something, either the utilitiousness of it. You know, in gold's case, it's used in industry. You know, it also has to have some level of what I would call competitive advantage, right? And so Peter Schiff keeps talking about gold being a great electrical conductor. It's used in a lot of electronics. The same thing with silver, okay? Ironically enough, the things used to mine Bitcoin and other cryptos, silver is in those, okay? Gold is in those, all right? So, but he keeps asking Raoul Paul, like, what's the value? What's the value? What's the value? And Raoul Paul keeps responding with, you know, features and benefits as if he's selling a car, okay? And he keeps saying, oh, well, the only reason why gold has any value is because people have faith in it. And so people have faith in Bitcoin, and that's why it's there. I think that's wrong, okay? I think Peter Schiff wins that end of the argument. The intrinsic value of Bitcoin is nothing. Okay. I think people have to understand this. And mind you, you have to understand definitions of words here. Okay. The intrinsic value of Bitcoin is literally nothing. And Raoul Paul actually continues to make that argument without knowing that he's making that argument. He's essentially saying that the readiness of people, the belief in the fact that if I get a Bitcoin, it's worth something, and then I pass it on to someone else and they believe it's worth something, right? Like, he's basically making the argument there's no intrinsic value. He's wrong. Okay. And I'm going to tell you why he's wrong. I'm going to tell you why most people are wrong about the way that they think about cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin specifically, but cryptocurrencies in general. The money, the intrinsic value of any cryptocurrency is the blockchain that's under it, okay? You kind of have to know the basics of what a blockchain is, but a currency, like I said before, derives its value from whatever it's backed up by. Typically, a currency has, if it's just a currency, has some kind of money or asset or something like that that's backing it up. What backs up Bitcoin is the data that's stored and proofed in the blocks on the Bitcoin blockchain, okay? I've had people try and tell me that the value of Bitcoin is derived from the actual network itself, right? Like the build out of all the miners and the you know, the infrastructure of it. That's bull. I'm sorry. That's not the way currency and money work, okay? the way that Bitcoin derives any kind of value is the same way that any cryptocurrency derives value. What is the value of the data that is stored and proofed and encrypted on the blocks on the blockchain? Right? That's it. It's very simple. Okay. Data has value. We already know that. Most Bitcoin maxis will tell you data has value. And that's why cryptocurrency is so important. Now, here's something that the Bitcoin maxis need to hear. I don't think at present, and this doesn't mean that in the future, but I don't think at present, the vast majority of the data that's on the Bitcoin blockchain is worth anything. And here's why. The vast majority of the data that's stored on the Bitcoin blockchain has to do with people passing Bitcoins back and forth speculatively, not using it to, you know, build things, not using it to create goods or services and go back and forth. Now, like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean that that won't be the way in the future. However, other evangelists of other cryptocurrencies and other blockchains have a very good argument. Bitcoin doesn't seem to scale the same way that other cryptocurrencies scale, okay? And there are other cryptocurrencies that scale at lower fee structures. Their tokenomics is close to what Bitcoin is, so Bitcoin loses that a little bit of that competitive advantage. And really, at the end of the day, what Bitcoin has going for it right now is its brand. It's a brand of cryptocurrency, okay? But the question is, what is actually stored on the blockchain? Now, the beauty of blockchain is that you actually have some assurance that what's stored on the blockchain is there, it's proofed, it's high quality, meaning that it's probably accurate, okay? And it's there for all of time. It's stored perfectly for all of time, okay? That's the hallmark of a functioning blockchain, a functioning cryptographic system or ledger. Okay. The type of data is also extremely important. Okay. Just because data is accurate doesn't mean it's of value. So if all it is a bunch of transactions between computers that are speculating on the price of Bitcoin, that's not valuable data. I'm sorry, it just isn't. Transactional data that results in no productivity increase is not of value. And so if that's what's backstopping Bitcoin as a currency, then I'm sorry to say that it's overvalued, okay? Now, does it have the potential to be something that has some really valuable types of data stored on the blockchain into the future? Yeah, sure. It's a cryptocurrency that's attached to a blockchain that has that capability. That's correct. Now, Peter Schiff doesn't understand this because you can hear him. And when he talks about it, he has a rudimentary understanding of what blockchain technology is. But he misses the kill shot, the potential kill shot. And Raoul Paul misses this opportunity to make this argument. And part of the reason why I don't think he makes the argument either, he's a very smart person. So, I mean, both Schiff and Raoul Paul are smart. They're intelligent people. They're worth lots of money, right? Like they've obviously done something right in their life. But so where Raoul Paul misses it and doesn't bring this up, I think part of it might be subconsciously that he understands that if he comes to that realization, that he then realizes that you have to validate whether or not the data is of any value on the blockchain. And what is that data value on the Bitcoin blockchain? That's the question. Now, let me juxtapose this to a blockchain and a cryptocurrency that I think actually has a lot of valuable data and will continue to have valuable data. It is Hive, a truly decentralized blockchain that has self-custody of cryptocurrency. It has tokenomics that are based off of essentially coins being minted because of actual activity that's happening, and not necessarily activity of just simply trading Hive back and forth. In fact, a lot of the aspects of the wallets and the Hive blockchain itself are designed to disincentivize that kind of rampant speculation and that rampant kind of turnover of the currency. There should be some purpose to the actual transaction of those coins being passed back and forth. and it is a primary layer. So there are other tokens that are built off of the top of that, that essentially also create the value. Now, that's also true in terms of Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is a platform that a lot of apps have built off of the top of. But again, once you realize that efficiency matters, fee structure matters, scalability matters, right? Bitcoin could end up losing market share or being completely wiped off the face of the planet by one of these other blockchains or one of these other cryptocurrencies that does this more efficiently and in a better, more scalable way. I mentioned the scarcity aspect of things. Peter Schiff actually makes an incredible observation here. Everyone wants to say, oh, there's only 21 million Bitcoin. There's only 21 million Bitcoin. I mean, from Peter Schiff's standpoint, you can subdivide Bitcoin a lot easier. And in fact, to a much greater extent than you can subdivide gold, right? Like you could only get down to basically either a gram or, if you want to go completely ridiculously, to an atom of gold, right? And so he's basically saying that there's 21 quadrillion Satoshis, right? Basically fractions of fractions of fractions of a Bitcoin. And he's completely correct. You could always subdivide Bitcoin very easily because it's just completely digital. Okay. So that does wipe away at least a little bit of the scarcity argument. So anyway, back to Hive. So Hive, the reason why I think Hive is of more value than most of these other, you know, cryptocurrencies that are based off of cryptographic blockchain platforms or foundations, is that Hive actually showed what could happen in the situation where a cryptocurrency fails to actually provide the value and the security that it was alleging. And so Hive hard forked. Hive didn't always exist just as Hive. It started as a piece of the Steemit blockchain. And when Steemit essentially had a hostile takeover of the currency, all the voting rights that went with it, and became centralized, the true believers in Hive, in decentralization, hard forked. They moved away from it, and it created a blockchain that retained the decentralized aspect and actually improved on the decentralization aspect of what blockchain can be. And this idea that everyone who holds at least one or a fraction of that currency, okay, has a vested interest. They're bought in. They're a stakeholder. I don't want to use the word shareholder because they're not, you know, this isn't an equity. This isn't a manipulated stock price. Okay. They have a vested interest in the actual value of the blockchain. And so in that decentralized setup, they hard forked. And so you had the legacy blockchain that kept on with the centralization, and Hive hard forked. And it not only retained its value, but it has increased in value over time. And from my standpoint, the reason why it's increased in value isn't rampant speculation. The reason why it's increased has been, one, adoption, and two, the data that's stored on the blockchain forever and ever is good quality, but also valuable, a valuable type of data. And what type of data is stored? Well, it's all based off of the apps that are built off of it. And so the apps that are built off of it right now are providing social interaction, blog posts, media and article and news, a library, essentially, of thought and information and data. It's actual transactions that are happening in the DeFi system that are helping people to invest and then create new apps that are based off of that blockchain. And yes, a lot of this is happening on the Bitcoin network as well. But from my estimation, just watching the ebb and flow of Bitcoin, the vast majority of what happens on that blockchain is speculation of the value of the currency. And it has nothing to do with what the value of the data says the currency should be worth. So last week, actually 2 weeks ago, maybe, I wrote an article on how do you value Bitcoin, right? Like, how do you value it? I'm going to have to go back and write a revision, because listening to this debate, it became extremely clear to me. It's the data, right? Like, I forget who said it. Was it James Carville? Like, it's the economy, stupid, right? In the crypto space, it's the data, stupid. Is the data worth anything, right? The data that's stored in the blockchain, That's the value. That's where the currency derives its value from. And the types of data that are important are actual transactional data that create, you know, activity and new business prospects and services distribution and goods distribution, right? Like all of the things that make life work as either just purely in the digital world or as a synthesis between or a bridge between the digital world and the real world. That's it. Now, both Peter Schiff and Raoul Paul, and this is the more political side of this, or for me it is, both of them identify the fact that central banking is a complete freaking train wreck. They both identify that fiat currency is a complete train wreck, okay? And like I said, Raoul Paul actually gives credit to gold and says, you know, gold does a little bit of, it does a bunch of what Bitcoin seeks out to do. Raoul Paul's position is it just doesn't do it as efficiently, right? And or as easily, because it's difficult to transport and take custody of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which, by the way, I wrote an article earlier today about how cryptocurrency and gold and silver could have a baby. And I would love to see that happen. Actually, I think it's happening now. But I digress. So the political aspect of it, both of them identify the fact that central banks have essentially redistributed and stolen the wealth of the vast majority of the populations over which they supposedly serve to the benefit of a handful of people. That's why we see wealth distribution disparity at, you know, almost all-time highs historically, all right, throughout the westernized world. And the argument here is that cryptocurrency is a solution for that. And I wholeheartedly agree, okay? Peter Schiff even says that cryptocurrency has uses that he's, you know, he sees value in, right? And it's part of the disruption of this. He's just not convinced that Bitcoin is that thing, right? And I got to say, I agree with him. I don't think on a scale of like 0 to 100% certainty, right? No certain, like never going to happen versus 100%, you know, certain it's going to be, Bitcoin's going to be the new standard. It's going to take over in 100 years. We'll be, you know, there won't be US dollars and rubles and things like that. It'll just be Bitcoin transactions. I think it's a very low certainty. It's closer to 0% than it is 100% if you have to handicap it. Okay. This is why I'm worried about people that are putting 70, 80, 90% of their money into Bitcoin because they just see it going up, right? It's FOMO. It's chasing action. It's gambling, right? The critique has always been against the central banks. But here's something I think that has been missing from the conversation that doesn't get nearly enough air and enough attention. And some people are talking about it, but some of the biggest influencers are not. And it's because it's a very dangerous, almost third rail to talk about. Because cryptocurrencies derive their value from the data on the blockchain. That basically means that the fight isn't just against central banks and fiat currency. The fight is against a digital system. Okay, and some of this was discussed by, you know, the former CEO of Twitter. Some of this was discussed by, you know, some of the people on Capitol Hill when they were talking about regulating, you know, the big tech platforms and stuff like that. But think about it this way: the world you live in right now, who has a vast, you know, a de facto monopoly on data? Okay, it's Amazon and AWS. It's Google, it's Facebook, right? It is Twitter. It's all of these different platforms. It's IBM, right? And all of these cloud computing companies. It's Microsoft. These companies are the enemy of cryptocurrency because cryptocurrency is the antithesis to what they have used to build their empire. They've used your data. They continue to use your data against you in many cases. In fact, when you talk about the security state that's enabled by the overwhelming monopoly on data, you know, the United States government uses that to its advantage. And we could get into some conspiracy theories about whether or not it was actually designed that way for a purpose, okay? But crypto at the end of the day is exactly that. It is not just in competition or in direct opposition to fiat currency and central banks. It's also in direct competition and opposition to the monopoly on your data that you should be able to have custody and control of. Okay. And so therein lies the true value of cryptocurrency. Does Bitcoin do that? Yes. Does it do it as efficiently as all the other cryptocurrencies that are out there? Remains to be seen. But I am worried that people don't fully understand what they're, one, investing in when they're buying Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency. And I'm also worried that they're over-leveraged because they just see the price action. But the price action isn't being driven by actual commerce. The price action is being driven by rampant speculation, which means Bitcoin could still have a useful life into the hundreds or thousands of years with each Bitcoin being worth much less than it is now, or at least the fractions of a Bitcoin being worth much less than it is now, right? And there's also this assumption that Bitcoin will become the dominant solution. I can foresee a world where, you know, if Bitcoin is here in 100 years, it's one of dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of cryptocurrencies that are used and seamlessly transacted between the various currency pairs. Okay. That also flies in the face of this, like, oh, well, there's 21 million Bitcoin. And if there's, you know, $38 trillion US dollars withstanding, if it took over all the transactions at US dollar, no, I mean, you're assuming 100% market share. Right. Like if you look at it from a business owner standpoint, usually as a business owner standpoint, you're happy to get 1%, right? There's this belief that Bitcoin is going to be the standard for all, you know, foreign settlements and exchanges and transactions. I think that is an outlandish assumption if that's the direction that you're headed in. Okay. So this is a spoonful of reality that I think everyone needs to hear, whether you're a complete novice as far as investing in crypto goes, or whether or not you're the most seasoned of veterans. And please, by all means, if you watch and listen to this, you think I'm full of shit, tell me in the comments. I want to hear it. What have I missed, right? Am I missing some amazing development that's happening on the Bitcoin blockchain that, you know, is worth billions of dollars in transactions, that's, you know, selling equipment or goods and services and things like that? Or are we just talking about essentially people trading Bitcoin back and forth? I'm going to leave you with one last note. And I've hit on this in the past, and I'll probably continue to hit on this. The people that made money during the gold rush that happened out in the West in the United States weren't the vast majority of the prospectors and the miners. The people that made the money during the gold rush, they sold the shovels and the pickaxes. They ran the hotels and the bars and the houses of ill repute, okay? They were the people that were supplying the infrastructure and the goods part of it, all right? And gold still ended up having a value at the end of the gold rush. But something that a lot of people forget is that the people that were actually pulling the gold out of the ground weren't the ones that were actually making the money. It was the people that were, you know, selling the infrastructure to do that. Okay. And so nowadays, what does that look like? Well, looks like crypto miners, right? And crypto miners sell for a pretty penny, and they're extremely expensive in many cases. The really good ones that give you an opportunity to make more money every single day or every single month. Well, guess what? And a lot of those crypto miners, there is silver, there is gold. Okay. This is also not a story of this or that, okay? This is a story of and, right? Is it a good idea to have gold and silver? Yes. Is it a good idea to have crypto in addition to your gold and silver? Yes. But it's also good to have a realistic viewpoint and good risk management when it comes to putting your money to work and actually investing in something. Okay. I would highly, now it's 3 hours long, but I would highly suggest that you at least parse the debate that happened over on Tom's channel. I think it's absolutely fantastic to have this happening in the open. I think it needs to happen. I think it needs to happen more because I think some of these viewpoints get glossed over and a lot of people are selling features and benefits when really the features and benefits, you're putting the cart before the horse. You have to talk about value first and understand where that's derived from. All right. And someone somewhere, many people need to start talking about what the value is of the data that's actually being housed on some of these blockchains. Because, you know, shit coins and meme coins, the data that's housed on those is literally worthless. That's why they're shit coins and meme coins, right? The value that's housed on some of these other blockchains, I think, is wildly valuable. But now is the hard work, if you're going to invest in things, is to determine, okay, what's actually being imprinted in these blockchains? What's actually being put into these blocks? And is that data, not just the quality of it, because that's step one, but also the type of data, is that actually of value? Because if you can hit upon a blockchain that has all of those things, that's going to be at least valuable to a certain extent. And now you can actually begin to determine, okay, is it more valuable than what it's trading at now? Or is it less value than what it's trading at now? Right? As opposed to just blindly, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard, or essentially praying to the god of Bitcoin that it's going to continue to go up ad infinitum. All right. So just a dose of reality on a Tuesday evening, a special impromptu video. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. And as usual, join me Monday through Friday at noon Eastern when I talk about markets, crypto, gold, silver, and a whole host of other things. And if you have a moment, do me a favor. If you got anything out of this broadcast, either sub, like, and share it, or go to anarchistinvestor.substack.com and give me a free subscription over there at Substack, because I put out really, I think it's good information. I'll let you be the judge, and please give me feedback on it. So I appreciate it. Have a very good evening, everyone. Peace.